Well, this morning we're going to close up this year by assessing how we have done over these seven. The theme this year has been Engage the Seven. We've challenged you. We've done a series in each of these sermons. And so this is going to be the final sermon to kind of wrap it all together and to help us assess ourselves, evaluate ourselves, and to reflect and think, how well am I engaged in these seven? Y'all ready to self-reflect this morning? Because this morning I want to talk about strategic engagement. Strategic engagement. That's what we're going to close out the year with. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read passages in Philippians, verses in Philippians and in Acts. Starting with Philippians first, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly and the glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Let's read Acts 2, 42 through 47. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing those proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who are being saved." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful this morning that we can come and worship you. I pray, Lord, as we close out this year, that you'll help us to hear your words, to reflect upon them, Lord, to evaluate where we are in our walk with you, and help us to follow you more fervently in our walk. Lord Jesus, help me to preach plain and clear. I do understand that there is strict judgment on my life and dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We'll go back to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll look at that first. But before we do that, I've got a picture of a game. Maybe some of you all used to play this growing up. Some of you may have gotten this for Christmas one year, or maybe they've updated it. They always update games and stuff. But how many of you all know this game? Stratego. Raise your hand if you've ever played Stratego. Oh my goodness, you all are missing it. You are missing it. You're going to have to get on Amazon and order Stratego. It's a neat game. So you have different pieces. You have a blue and red team. You see that there? Each piece has a different type of military character. And there's a flag, and the flag is what you're after. You're trying to capture the other person's flag. And each military commander has different values, and so you move your pieces each one at a time, and if you have the lower number, you trump that person and you take that person's character. So the goal is try to find the flag. And so there's a spy in there, there's a general, there's captain, there's bombs, you can hit a bomb, and so bit by bit you're moving your pieces and you're taking pieces, you're getting pieces taken, and you're trying to capture that person's flag. And so you have to be very strategic and how you place that flag. And so it's a game of strategy, and it's really fun, and it makes you think. And so you have to go in it with an idea that, okay, here's where my flag is, and I'm going to protect it. So I have a strategy of how I'm going to protect my flag, and then I've got to have a strategy of attack how I'm going to do that. And as I think about strategic engagement, I think about the Christian life and that there must be a strategy that we implement in our life. Amen? There is an enemy out there that's after us, trying to take us down, trying to destroy us. We are targeted people. The Bible says that Satan roams around and roars like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And so it's important that we have a strategy to make sure that we are engaged in the purposes of God. Amen? So I got to have a strategic engagement plan. Okay, so that's what we're going to end the year off with, talking about that. And the first thing that we've got to do, the first on our list has got to be this. Number one, you must know that you're saved. Okay? Before you can ever become effective in your Christian walk, you must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are born again, that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because you cannot be effective being fake, having not a genuine conversion, because you cannot live the Christian life by the flesh. It must be accomplished through the Spirit. And the only way that you can have the Spirit is if you're born again. Okay? So we've got to really evaluate ourselves. Look at what Paul says in verse 12. He's talking in the previous verses about how he's been suffering, how he's been serving the Lord, and he's seeing that even in his suffering, he is being more perfected in Christ Jesus, that he's sharing in his sufferings. He sees that as a glorious thing. And he's summarizing like his life, and he makes this statement, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not a perfect person, but I'm going to press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has what? Made me his own. The only way that I can own my faith is if I have faith. And the only way that I have faith is if Jesus has saved me, that Jesus has made me his own. The only reason why I can claim faith is because of what Christ has done. Amen? And so what Paul says is that I'm going to make it my own. I'm going to make my faith my own because Jesus made me his own. He's talking about salvation there. Paul has had a genuine conversion experience. And so the only way you can make your faith your own is if you have faith. And the only way you can have faith is if Jesus made you his own. Well, how can Jesus make us his own? When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and we're brought to the awareness that we are separated apart from a holy God, that we can do nothing in and of ourselves to please God. There is nothing we can do to get to God, but that God has done everything, that Jesus has came down, that he died for us, for our sin on the cross. He rose again on the third day, and everyone who will believe in him, confess in him, place their faith and trust in him, will be saved. And by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the confession of faith, he makes us his own, and he saves us, and he redeems us, and he sets us apart. My question is, do you have genuine faith? Has Jesus made you his own? That's the first thing that you've got to know. If you're going to have a strategic engagement plan, number one, you've got to know that you're saved, amen? You've got to know that, so I pray that you do. Number two, you must realize that you are in process. You must realize that you are in process. Look at verse 13. Brothers, he says, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I realize, Paul says, that I haven't perfected my faith yet. Now, that's encouraging, right? Because the Apostle Paul, whoo, man, he was a, he was like a trailblazer, planted churches, I mean, laid his life down for the gospel. Puts me to shame, you know? If I can compare my life to Paul, you know, Paul's here and I'm beneath the stage, right? I mean, and yet Paul says, I realize I haven't perfected it yet. We have to realize that we're always in process and that we're, the goal is always to move forward, right? I haven't arrived yet. If you think you have arrived, you're in trouble. If you think you have no more room to grow, if you think that you've got it all figured out, if you think that you have mastered the Bible, if you think that you have everything, if you have got every one of these seven down, and you say, man, I pray like I know I should all the time. I'm always learning like I should. Oh, I always worship like I should. I appreciate the body of the church like I should. I serve like I should. I give like I should. I invite like I should. And I know that I'm doing those exactly how I'm supposed to do it, and I don't have any room to grow. I mean, I just have it all down. If that is you, and you really believe that, I worry. I would worry about an individual who thinks that like that. That every single thing you do is perfect. That you've got it all down. Because Paul said he didn't have it all down yet. He hadn't perfected it yet. So we got to realize that we're in process of moving forward and that the Lord is continuously showing ways to improve. Amen? You've got to always be open to the voice of the Holy Spirit when he prompts you and convicts you and moves you. And the goal should be, I want to keep moving forward. He says, I forget what lies behind me. I press forward what lies ahead, which brings me to my third point. We must improve continuously. Look at verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call for God in Christ Jesus. So he's comparing his Christian life to that of a race. You're running. You start off and you're running. When you're running, you've got one goal in mind, that finish line. You're running to move forward to win. You're running to go ahead. He says, I don't look behind. Because if you run like that, what does it do? It'll slow you down. And it could also maybe cause you to trip, right? When you run a race, you get your eyes fixed and you run straight ahead and you don't look back. You don't look back and forth. You keep pressing forward. I'm continually moving. You don't just stop. Anybody ever run cross country? A few. Anybody run like marathon? Mike, you've ran a marathon. Anybody else run a marathon? Marathon? Woo. Marathon runner? Half marathon? A 5K? How about a 0K? Okay, so I ran cross country my freshman year because my dad talked me into it. And I have never forgiven him for that to this day. And I just running long distance, I could run up and down a basketball floor all day long, but running just long distance to me was torture. And so what I would do, I'm from the Ashland area, and when Ashland had their race, they would do it at a park, and it would be up in some hills and some woods. You'd go up this big, huge hill. In mulch, it was just a big mulch hill that used like going up. Then you got back in these woods. And what I realized that when I was back in those woods, the coach couldn't see me. And so we were starting off, right? Go! There I went. I'm sitting there running with everybody else. Get up that hill. Get up in those woods. Whew. Whew. Everybody's just passing me by. And there I'm a strolling. I never came in last, but I came pretty close to last because I didn't move forward constantly. I took a little stroll break, a little breathe break, and which is horrible, which is what you shouldn't do if you're running cross country. That's why I wasn't any good at it. That's why I only ran it 1 year. And in life, here's what I think we do. We get saved, get born again, woo, we're fired up, we're running, and then we get distracted. And we get bogged down. And we start strolling. We take a little break. We bend over. We put our hands on our side. We start listening to everybody else. Then we start getting negative. And then we start, and then we kind of lose we lose that first love. Do we not sometimes? Does that not happen? Sometimes we take a little stroll and we just wander, we meander, and we're not doing what we should be doing. And so what we got to always do is we got to make sure that we are in the race to run it, to move forward, to always improve. And our Christian life has got to be one where we take it serious, where we reflect, where we don't take breaks, we don't take off, we don't take months off, we don't take years off. Some people take years off of church. 1 year turns into 2 years turns into 5 years turns into 10. Next thing you know, 15 years goes by and you're out of church. I hear those stories. I know those stories. They're true. You miss a week turns into a month turns into a year, then before long, you've lost years of effectiveness in the faith. And so we've got to always be thinking, how am I improving in my Christian walk? Am I running my race the way I should? Am I strolling? Am I just stopped? Am I making a detour? Or am I fixed? Am I moving forward? Am I growing in Christ? Am I improving? And so we look at these seven. These are great things to evaluate ourselves, right? My prayer life. How is my prayer life? And I think we need to make sure that we're honest with ourselves. If we say, man, my prayer life is not where I want it to be, we need to own that and say it. I'm up in the woods taking a stroll, and I'm not praying like I should. So right now, think about your prayer life. Are you satisfied with your prayer life? Do you seek the Lord in prayer on a daily basis? Are you in communion with God? Do you hear from the Holy Spirit? Paul said to pray continuously. There's moments of specific prayer where we need to get alone in our prayer closet and pray to God and hear from the voice of God. And then there's a mindset of prayer all day long where we're in tune and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Am I praying like I should? Am I praying in a way that's worthy of the call? And if we look at that and we say that in 2020, what am I going to do? We're going to have a strategic engagement plan. And so here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Here's what I'm challenging myself to do. I'm evaluating myself in all of those seven areas. And I'm wondering, what can I do different next year to help me run better in these seven? Prayer. One thing I started doing is keeping a prayer journal and writing a prayer out before each sermon and praying over each sermon. Just maybe you keep a prayer journal. I don't know. There's something that you can do. What can I do to improve my prayer life in the year 2020? We're all going to be making New Year's. Some of you are going to make your New Year's resolution. Some of you made one New Year's resolution that you kept. You said, I'm never going to make a New Year's resolution. Well, so this is not a New Year's resolution. This is a strategic engagement plan for 2020. You ready? Prayer. Think about your prayer. What about learning? My Bible reading. Am I reading my Bible? Am I studying my Bible the way that I need to in order to grow in my faith? Does my Bible really mean something to me? Or do I just pack it around? Or do I have it on my office desk? Or do I just keep it in my car? Is my Bible open? Do I write in it? Do I highlight in it? Do I mark in it? Do I study it? Do I read it? Am I actually seeking God's words to my life? How important is the Bible to me? What can I do different next year to make the Bible a bigger part of my life? Is anybody's wheels turning right now? Are you thinking? Are you thinking? What can the Bible, how can I have the Bible? What about my worship? How am I worshiping the Lord? Am I distracted constantly on Sunday mornings? Is my time coming in here, is it heightened? Am I aware? Am I really coming into the presence of God's people, in the presence of God, to worship Him? Do I worship Him throughout my life? Do I see my job as a way to worship God? Because Paul said, no matter what you do, do it all for the glory of God. That your boss is not your boss. Jesus is your boss. And so when you go to work and you do your job well, guess what? That's a one way to worship God. Do you see that as one way to worship God? What about belonging? Your involvement in the church and your church membership? Does being a member of this church matter to you? Is it important to you? Do you think that there's value in saying, man, I am a member of Living Water Church, and I love the people who go to Living Water Church, and I love the members of Living Water Church, and I'll pray for the people of Living Water Church. Yes, we're to love. There's more than just Living Water Church, right? We're not the only church, but this is a one particular body of Christ, and if you're a member of this particular body of Christ, this church ought to mean something to you, right? There's one group of believers that I love a little bit better than everybody else, and you know who it is? You all, right? Because God has called me to pastor this church in which you're a part of, and I love you all and care for you all, and I want God to do His best work in you, and I want you to follow God with complete surrender, and I want your life to glorify His name. I want our church to glorify His name. And being part of a church is special. It's a privilege, it's an honor to call yourself a member. Do you hold that of high regard? Does your life reflect the glory of Christ? Does your life go out there and bear a good witness for the church? How's your membership commitment? Serving? Are you using your gifts and talents for God? I know there's a lot of you who do. We wouldn't be able to do what we do if you didn't. And praise God that we have a lot of folks that roll up their sleeves and just serve the kingdom of God. What about 2020? What are some things that you can do to serve Him even better? To use your gifts and talents even more? Maybe just not inside these church walls, but outside these church walls. Think about that. Your giving. How about your giving? We did a series, first time ever in the history of our church, a series on financial stewardship. And by reading the responses from the survey, a large portion of you said, I'm going to make a step to do better next year from now on. And I'm going to move up. I'm going to move the bucket forward. Remember, we had the buckets here. And which bucket are you in? And what would it do if you just move the bucket, just go forward one more? And several of you all said, I'm going to move it forward. I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to take the next step forward. You're giving. Have you evaluated that? Have you thought about that? And yeah, yes, I give a tithe. Or no, I don't give a tithe, but I want to. And I want to work towards that. Or yeah, I'm giving tithes. What about offerings? Have I become a generous giver to where I give beyond measure? Because you see, I know I don't ever want to be satisfied with my giving. I don't know about you. There's not a number that I'm hitting. I'm trying to go for and say, well, when I start giving this amount, I'm going to be happy as pastor of Living Water Church. We increase our giving every year, and we just keep going up. And I want to keep giving more to the kingdom of God, because I don't know any better cause to give to than the kingdom of God through His church. Do you? What would happen if we all gave like we should? And we got a project we got to finish out. I'd like to get that kitchen ready and that cafe ready, wouldn't you? We got some piece of property in front of us I'd like for us to have. There's some church starts we need to start. You know what all that takes? You know what one thing that takes? It takes many things, but you know one thing that it takes? Money. It takes money. Where does that come from? God's people, through his faithfulness, through your faithfulness of giving. Inviting. Who's your one? We spent weeks on who's your one. That one person that you know that doesn't know the Lord. That one person, do they know the Lord yet? Have they come to faith yet? Because if not, guess what? There's still work to be done. Amen. And when that one friend comes to know Jesus, are you done? Woo! I helped lead somebody to the Lord. I helped witness to one person. I can stroll the rest of my life and not worry about another soul. Huh? Is that how we look at it? No. Then there's somebody else that needs to know the Lord, right? We're inviting people constantly. And I know several of y'all do a great job of that too. You invite people to church. Share the gospel with them. Invite them. Always be a witness. Always have all these, the strategic engagement, these seven purposes that we've structured this church around. What is it that I can do in 2020 that where I will be more engaged in each of those seven, more so than what I was in 2019? That's a good question, isn't it? I can't give you the specifics of that. You got to come up with that on your own, right? Because we're all growing in different ways and we're all at different steps in the process, right? But what would it look like? Here's a good question, right? Because here's what we got to understand. So what's the goal? We've got three steps for our strategic engagement. What's the goal? The goal is to live a life pleasing to the Lord that others could follow and be better for it. Look at verse 17 back in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, brothers, now listen to what he says. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Do you see what he's doing there? He's saying that follow my example. That sounds very braggadocious, doesn't it? Hey, just, you know, you follow me, because we're like, whoa, we get real quick and say, don't follow me, follow who? Follow Jesus. But now watch, let's think about it. If we are a born-again believer who has a genuine, authentic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we understand that we must be born again, and that we are, and that we're focused moving forward, that we're in a process continuously moving forward in our walk with Christ, that we are improving each and every day, and the goal of our life is to please him, and that we're living free from sin, we're dying to sin and living to righteousness, we're dying to the flesh, walking by the Spirit, we are being led by the Spirit of God. If we are living that kind of life, should that not be a life where we could admonish a young believer to follow in our example? Should. Our Christian life ought to be lived in such a way that we're living to glorify God, and our life is pleasing to God, where that we could say, if you'll follow my example, you will live a God-pleasing life because you will be following the Jesus that I'm following, and your goal will be my goal, and our goal together is the same, to glorify God. My question to you is, if there was a new believer that followed you around every day and they modeled their life exactly the way you lived it, would you be able to say their life is going to please the Lord? That's a heavy question, isn't it? Because you're like saying, well, Grant, depends on what day it is. It depends on if I'm having a meeting with my boss or not. It depends on how the kids are acting. It depends on, I mean, there are a lot of things that depends on, right? But as a Christian, okay, here's what we got to understand. We are saved by the grace of God. Amen? We are. There's nothing we can do to merit our salvation. Okay? We understand that. But that doesn't mean that you become a lazy follower. Well, I'm saved by grace. You know, I'm just going to. Walk through life like this. I'm saved by grace. Grace, that ought to motivate me to live a more holy, righteous life. Why? Because I was going to hell. He snatched me from hell, put me on the path to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I could have had destruction in my life. Now I'm saved. Now I've got a new path. Now I've got a new purpose. I want to please God. I want to love him. I want to follow him. I want to serve him. He is my everything. The goal of my life is to please my Father, and my life ought to be one where I'm living a life in such a way that I am pleasing and honoring Christ my King. And that I should be able to tell other young believers, hey, come, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus, and I'll help show you how to live a Christian life. It's what discipleship is. Discipleship's just not going through a study. My goodness, that's where we've erred. We have people that's went through experiencing God and never experienced God. But they've done the study. It's about a genuine life walk with God. Walking in tune with the Spirit, pleasing him. And look what he says. He says, he warns. Look at verse 18. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and the glory and their shame, with mind set where? On earthly things. What's Paul saying? Don't get distracted by the false gods of this world. Don't get distracted by earthly things. Why? Because our citizenship is where? Verse 22, but our citizenship is where? In heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. He says, don't allow this earth to distract you. You've got to realize we're citizens of heaven. We're a distinct people. We have a purpose. The Lord is our master. We seek to glorify him. This world is temporary, so we don't live for the pleasures of this world. We live for the pleasures of heaven. Why? Because that's what's eternal. And so here's what the gospel and here's what the New Testament calls us to do. You ready? The New Testament calls us to become a church that is strategically engaged for a heavenly mission. That we realize that there are those around us that we were lost and we have been found, and there are others around us who are lost who need to be found, right? So therefore, we've got a mission to go share the good news of Jesus. Amen. So we are a gospel-centered people. The gospel is not just something that should center our church, but it's something that should center our life, okay? And so what it looks like, let's dream for a moment. 2019's ending. Maybe some things went the way you thought it would, and sometimes maybe it didn't. Maybe you had some good moments, maybe you had some bad moments. I don't know. 2019's behind us. It's going to be behind us soon. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to press ahead. Living Water Church, when we are strategically engaged, and every single one of us value the membership of one another, and we love and care for one another as a body of Christ, and we're praying for one another, lifting one another up in prayer, what would it look like every member of the church spending quality time with God in prayer, calling before the throne of heaven, and the incense of Living Water Church rushes the throne of God, and God is flooded with prayers from the saints of people who go to Living Water Church. And God keeps hearing Montgomery County's name mentioned, and Powell County's name mentioned, and Menifee County's name mentioned, and Bath County, and Fleming County, and Breathitt County, and the names of these counties start rising up, and the names of people that we're praying for a while, because we know they're lost, and they desperately need Christ, and the God of heaven is saying, well, there's people here in Montgomery County that's praying, that's wanting my spirit to fall and move. What would it look like when the church begins serving and using our gifts and talents, and we're using everything that we have to maximize our effectiveness for the glory of Christ? And we're not worried about a title. We're not worried about being recognized as this. We're just servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, working together, shoulder to shoulder, hand to hand, for the gospel's sake. What does it look like when a church begins financially getting themselves in the proper stewardship and saying, you know what, all this stuff that I can buy and invest in this world, it means nothing like it means investing in the kingdom of God. To spur on the work of God. I can't take nothing with me. There's no piece of land, property here. There's no car. There's no house. There's no books. There's nothing. My degrees, my accomplishments, my trophies, they're in the yard sale anyway already, most of them. I can't take none of that with me. But what I can take with me is the things that I've sown for the kingdom of God. What's that look like, church? What's that look like when we are strategically engaged and the gospel is the focus of all that we do, and we worship him in spirit and in truth with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? Man, on Sunday mornings when the saints of Living Water Church gather together, heaven has to step up and recognize that there's praises coming from this place. When God looks down from heaven and he seeks and roams the earth wondering if there's anyone who still seeks to glorify my name. Is there anyone who is righteous? Is there anyone who will glorify my name? I pray that he could look down upon Living Water and Church and say, those people, those are the people that want to see me move. I don't know about you. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I want to be. I am never satisfied with my walk with Christ. Never. And I want to be strategically engaged. And next year, you better believe that I don't have these seven written down. And I'm going to make a plan for each of these seven. And how I'm going to be more strategically engaged with the gospel at center in each of those, so that I might glorify my Lord and my King. And I challenge you to do the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Lord, help us. Help us to be like Paul, and help us to realize that we got to press forward. Lord, we understand that there is a reward awaiting us. And God, I pray that when I end my race and I cross my finish line and I breathe my last breath and I stand before you in heaven, I pray I'll hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to be people with strategic engagement, that we keep moving forward in our walk with you so that we might glorify your holy name. Lord, that you would draw men and women to yourself, that you would save people, you would add to the church daily those who are being saved when we become the people you've called us to be. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.